Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 78. Today the Amateur Traveler goes to the city of brotherly love and the home of the cheesesteak, Philadelphia.
I got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo.
Oh no.
15-hour flight. Oh, I don't think I'll ever be coming home. You know I love it. I got to see one more.
Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. I have just two news stories for you today. The first one is there's a chance for you to win a trip into space through New Scientist and Audi. They're offering a trip that would take you 100 kilometers above the Earth. To win this prize, you have to enter a contest and you have to submit in up to 250 words what you think the world's best patented invention is and why. I'll put links in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com to that contest. In the second story, a relic of the Cold War, a North Dakota nuclear silo may reopen as a museum. As an article from USA Today Travel, that the State Historical Society of North Dakota is facing a one-year deadline and a fundraising challenge. By December 31st, 2007, they're trying to raise $1 million to turn a Minutemen silo into a museum and to operate it on a regular basis. Links to that also in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show John from Jimmy Crackhead TV. Now, John is here to talk about Philadelphia because you're a hometown Philly boy, right?
Yeah, Chris, good to talk to you, and I'm a proud Philly boy, 47 years here.
And I'm going to ask you, first of all, since we mentioned the name of your podcast, your video podcast, to explain, because you were telling me off microphone that when I say crackhead, there's an inside joke there.
Yeah, it's a play on Jimmy Crack Corn. And crack is an Irish word that my brother brought back from England, C-R-A-I-C. And it means to basically have a good time with friends, alcohol-based. The best way to get the real definition is to look in the Urban Dictionary or that one online. But that's the way it's loosely translated. I'm not from Ireland, so some people from Ireland might say that's not really true. But it's basically to have a good time with friends. Oh, it's a great city. Yeah, we all call it Philly. It's a great city. I love it to death. It's a great place to live. It's affordable. It's very historical. A lot of people cry about it, but they're the people that moved out and whine about it. You know, it's had its problems. It's had its ups and downs. It peaked around 1950 with about 2 million people, and they've lost about 500,000 people due to, I guess, the white flight, which happened in a lot of cities back in the 50s. But it's making a great comeback right now in the Center City area. I just read it has, like, 100,000 new people in it or something like that, or 10,000 new people. I'm not really sure of the numbers. It's a great city and good northeastern city.
And if I were coming to Philadelphia for, let's say, a week, what would you recommend me see?
It depends when you'd like to come. Probably the nicest time for me is fall. It's great for football season, and, mm-hmm. and Philadelphia also has a change of seasons. It's just a beautiful time, but if you have children and you have to come this summer, I'd recommend like probably June or early July to catch the July 4th stuff. There's this great international bike race that goes through Manayunk and all around the city that usually happens in the first week of June. And the July 4th thing is good because this is where the country was founded. If you're coming in around Christmas time, I'd stick around for January 1st to catch the Mummers Parade, which is an awesome traditional parade that dates back about 100 years.
Now, what's the Mummers Parade?
The Mummers Parade is, it's hard to explain. It's just, there's comics in the beginning, and then they get into the string bands. And the string bands are about 45 members, and they play saxophone, and they do these skits, and saxophone, mandolins, accordions, and it's just hard to explain. It's just a musical outfit, and it's an all-day event parade, and it's been happening since the 1895 or so.
Hmm.
So they just had their 100th celebration, and they march right up Broad Street. It's a good Philly tradition.
So if people came for the 4th of July, and they wanted to see the historical things, and that's as a big history buff, where would you take them?
Oh, definitely down to Old City, that area, Constitution Hall, Independence Hall, all that area around there. Anything from like 2nd Street up to about 8th Street. They still have horses pulling carriages. They have a lot of great tours around there. Betsy Ross House is down there, the lady that I guess designed our first flag. They just built a brand new Constitution Center that just had other President Bush, not W, and George Bill Clinton come by. Father Bush is going to be part of the board there now. And there's also Reading Terminal down there, which is underneath the train station. It was built around 1895, and they made the top part where the trains go. That's now a convention center. But below, there's all these markets that are run by the Amish.
Oh,
and
really?
It's incredible foodery kind of place, where there's like 100 or so little food places in there, all ethnic types of food, and they also have free Wi-Fi down there.
Okay, that sounds like my kind of place.
There's also South Street, which is a couple blocks down. It's a little bit for the younger crowd. It was fun for me up until about my 20s, but a little bit too young for me now.
South Street is more of a nightlife area, or?
Yeah, it's like, where do all the hippies meet? South Street, like the song goes. And if you do go down the South Street, if you go to 3rd and South, there's a great mural of Larry Fine, because Larry Fine of the Three Stooges was born around there.
And I don't know if I'm mixing up my cities here. Is somebody from that area Southie, or am I in Boston?
No, South Philadelphia.
Yeah, okay.
South Philadelphia is like where the Italians all grew up, and that's where all the people like Frankie Avalon and Mario Lanza lived. And it's kind of like Rocky was supposedly from Northeast Philly. But South Philly has their own little culture down there, mostly Italians.
Okay. So if I'm looking for a good Italian dinner, South Philadelphia is the place to go.
There's a lot of them. There's Luigi's, or Dante's, I think it's called, but, you know, there was a real good hit there about 15 years ago. The mafia came in and shot one of these guys, I forget his name, but he 15 times, and he lived through it. So it was, South Philly's definitely the Italian mafia kind of thing that you might see on CN movies, the stereotypical South Philly of Philadelphia.
Okay. What else are the highlights for you for Philadelphia?
Well, there's always the cheesesteak. There's always debates which cheesesteak is the best, but to me, I'm not that picky. I think any place you go with a decent line is going to be good. Sometimes they don't cut the steak as much. Sometimes they really chop it up. It's all about the roll. It's all about the Amarosa roll, and that's one of the problems that people from Philadelphia have trying to establish a Philadelphia cheesesteak place outside of the city, because they can't get the right roll. They need the Amarosa rolls.
What's an Amarosa roll? I thought I knew my cheesesteaks here until a moment ago.
Well, when your rolls in California, they're a little bit harder. You can't get the real soft rolls. It's really hard to explain, but it's the roll that makes the cheesesteak.
Anything else that, in terms of Philly food, that we should try if we're there?
Well, the traditional thing is scrapple, which no one eats, and I don't even think it's popular anymore. I know my brother liked it. And that's sort of limited to Philadelphia. It's made out of pig's guts. But the restaurant scene's really happening right now. We have this guy named Steven Starr, who's a former music promoter, get into the restaurant business.
Mm-hmm.
And he started up a bunch of these 5-star restaurants that took off like wildfire here, like Tangier, Budokan, the Continental, which is an Old City, which was his first one. And a couple of these have entered the New York market now, and he's getting a pretty good reputation up in New York. I think the Budokan opened up in New York City. But the Steven Starr restaurants, there's about 8 of them now in Philadelphia that are really great 5-star restaurants.
Hmm.
I'm more of an eat-to-live kind of guy. Like,
sure.
Got to be a real special occasion to take my girlfriend to these places, but they're expensive, and it's the kind of places like all the beautiful people go to. There's also a lot of ethnic restaurants all around town, a lot of Indian, Ethiopian, Afghan. It's a multicultural city with a lot of immigrants. There's just lots of places in different neighborhoods, depending on which neighborhood you go to.
And what are the various neighbors? How do they lay out from sort of, I know city center is about, once you get me too far from the Liberty Bell, mm-hmm. I don't really know my way around Philadelphia. Can you lay out the city for us?
It's basically a city of neighborhoods, and okay. There's all kinds of neighborhoods. As I mentioned before, South Philly was traditionally the Italians were living there. The northeast kind of area, the Kensington area where the Rocky stereotype is from, that's kind of more mixed. Center City's more right now in the more of the affluent area. I live in West Philadelphia, the University City area, where there's an increasing African population that's moving here. Just a very diverse area.
So if I was looking for the Ethiopian restaurants you mentioned, then West Philly would be the kind
of definitely. If you're looking at African food, West Philadelphia, the University City area is good for that, and we have a lot of good Indian restaurants here. Okay. In Center City, we have the Chinatown area, which has all the Asian-type restaurants, the Vietnamese, the Thai, Chinese restaurants. It's a small little good Chinatown. It's not as big as San Fran or New York, but it's a good, 10-square block area. Some really good restaurants.
Okay.
And a couple hundred of them, actually.
And so I come visit you for a week. What do we do in the evenings? Where do we go?
Well, it depends what you like to do. If you're into music, there's a lot of good music venues, places. We have the Academy of Music if you're more into like opera and classical. As a matter of fact, it's celebrating its 150th anniversary this weekend.
Hmm.
We also have a place called the Kimmel Center that opened up about 5 years ago, a multi-state place for the Philadelphia Orchestra to play. Elton John opened up the opening night there about 5 years ago, so that's an incredible place to hear classical music. We also have World Cafe, which is run by WXPN, one of the local radio stations here, which is a new venue to hear singer-songwriter type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have four sports teams in Philadelphia.
So right.
And they all play they keep changing the name. I think it's the Covia Center now, but that's where you'll see the big rock concerts.
When we run out of things to do in the city, where do you go outside? What's a day trip away from Philly?
Well, there's New York, which is only about a two-hour bus ride away. And if you go to Chinatown, you can actually get a $20 trip out of Chinatown to their Chinatown.
Oh,
funny. If you come in the summer, I would highly, highly recommend going to the Jersey Shore. It's just an incredibly great, busy place. Anything South Jersey, Long Beach Island, and below. I think as a beach, Atlantic City's a lot. It's not that nice as a beach, but the gambling is all in Atlantic City. But places like Avalon, Seattle City, Ocean City are just great places and beautiful weather. If you go real far south to Cape May, it's a very Victorian-type town with Victorian houses from about 1890s, reminiscent kind of like what you would see up in New England. So I would definitely go there. I would also check out Wildwood, which was filmed in the movie Birdie. They call Atlantic City in the movie, but it's really Wildwood that's in the movie being filmed, and it's a mm-hmm. great place for all these big rides and roller coasters and just a big mix of people that all go to Wildwood. A lot of Canadians go there also. So the Jersey Shore in the summer. The Chesapeake Bay is about 2 hours away, which is a nice place for sailing.
How about places in Pennsylvania?
Andrew Wyeth was a painter out in Chester County, so there's a lot of great places. Valley Forge, of course. How could I forget Valley Forge? Very historical to our Revolution. If you're here for July 4th weekend again, there's Gettysburg, another historical great place with the Civil War. They do a reenactment that weekend, July 4th. I haven't been to it.
But, sure, that makes sense because the battle was July 2nd through 4th.
And he was learning German just mm-hmm. so he could really become his character. His character in the Civil War spoke German, so these guys really take it seriously.
Huh.
That's a great place.
You don't remember what his character was, do you?
No.
Okay.
No.
My guess was one of the members of the Iron Brigade, but that's just because I'm a Civil War buff.
You are?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Great. I wish I learned history better. That was my father's hobby, and I didn't really pick up on it. He'd always get upset when I didn't know something, and then he would give me a little history of the question that I had. Also, Philadelphia is a city of murals. There's about, I'm not even sure, 200, 2,000 murals now. Just incredible, beautiful murals that maybe you can throw up on your Hansman feed.
Sure,
because
I'll look for some pictures of this.
The one thing about your show that I love so much is I have to watch it on my computer. I can't listen to it on the iPod because I'm missing out on the great pictures. So I think that's just an incredible feature that you have for your show.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that. It takes a lot of work.
It's worth it. It's worth it. Sometimes I'm like, I have to watch this on the computer to get the screen.
Why murals? Where did that come from? How did it get started, do you know?
probably to clean up the graffiti.
Okay, sure.
You know, graffiti, depending on who you talk to, either started in Philadelphia or New York City, which isn't, it was just kind of an ugly thing to be famous for. But, you know, it spread like wildfire throughout the country and throughout the world now. And we, Philadelphians have pretty much cleaned it up, and so has New York. And to replace the graffiti, they got a lot of these walls and put these incredible, beautiful murals up of famous people. There's one of, as I mentioned, Larry Fine from the Three Stooges at 3rd and South. There's one of Will Chamberlain. There's mostly of historical writers or people from Philadelphia.
Just do you have a favorite?
Well, I like the Will Chamberlain one, but it's hidden. It's hidden in a really bad spot, like 13th and Vine Street.
How would I get around Philadelphia?
Philadelphia is not the greatest for public transportation, but there's a thing called SEPTA, Southeastern Transportation Authority. They have a subway, and they have an elevated, which they call the L, and it gets you pretty much around town. You can, if you're in Center City, you can take the Broad Street line down to see any of the concerts or the sporting events. And the elevated line, you can get from Old City back up to City Hall in West Philadelphia. I also thought of something else you might want to do when you're in Philadelphia. Of course, there's the art museum. You have to run up the steps like Rocky. And if you're a runner or you're rollerblader, behind the art museum, there's an 8-mile path, 4 miles each way, and it goes around the river. And it's great for rollerblading. It's great for jogging, and it's great for people looking. And on any kind of beautiful day, whether it's in the winter or in the summer, you'll find hundreds and hundreds of people just roaming along this path along the water, the West River Drive or East River Drive, which they've since renamed Kelly Drive and Martin Luther King Drive. Really a fun thing to do.
And when you say along the water, that's the Delaware?
It would be the Schuylkill River.
The Schuylkill
feeds into the Delaware. Down along the Delaware River, they have Penn's Landing, where they have a lot of good concerts. I think July 3rd, they have the fireworks from Penn's Landing. Mm-hmm. On July 4th, they have the fireworks from the Art Museum area, and they usually have a free concert. They've had Elton John there. They've had the Beach Boys. They had Live 8 there last year. The Art Museum is a great place, too, and they have good exhibits. They've had Cezanne there. And any major artist that's touring the country, it'll have a stop usually at the Art Museum, which is about a mile away from Center City.
Now, you mentioned one thing that I want to make sure we bring up. You said if I'm a runner and I'm running up the steps, where are the steps that Rocky runs up?
They're right in front of the Art Museum. You can't miss them.
Okay, so those are the steps. Okay.
Yeah.
Which looks like it has a pretty good view of the city, too.
Oh, it's a great view of the city. As a matter of fact, that view of the city, I'm pretty sure, was designed by Edmund Bacon, who was Kevin Bacon's father, who passed away about a year ago, who was influential in designing the city back in the 40s.
Really?
And he did a lot of things great, and I think he had a few things that he botched up on, long-term things, like ruining a lot of the old city by tearing down the buildings. But I don't want to get into that. I want to get into the great things he did. But he laid the city out the way it is today, and he was a great man, and he saved this city from basically becoming, and I hate to badmouth Detroit, but something like Detroit where there's no more residents in the center city at night. Everybody flees out to the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
In center city, there's still a major residential population. Hmm. So when you're up in the art museum and you're looking at center city, he was major in getting the design of the city down.
It's interesting for me, as somebody who is a student of history, just looking at Philadelphia over the years, because, I mean, it used to be the largest city in the U.S.
Yeah, it was.
And so seeing some of the changes over the years is just fascinating. It's just a little microcosm of what the U.S. has been through.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that everybody comes to Philadelphia and they see it because they're told to see it, it's in all the tour books, and you've been there, and it's just not worth the time.
Well, what are the tour books telling you?
I don't know. I haven't looked at them in a few years now.
Most of the people, the tourists I see, will come for the history.
Sure.
And they'll come for Christmas. A lot more people will come for the Mummers Parade on January 1st. If you're in a driving distance, I would definitely come for New Year's to see the parade, because then you can predict your weather. It's not like you're coming from California, but if you're like in the what, we have a friend come up from Baltimore every single year for this parade. So that's the kind of thing, if you're New York or Baltimore or Washington, anything within 10 hours, Philadelphia is great in the winter. You don't want to come during a blizzard. In the summer, you can have your heat waves, which can be pretty unbearable, but that's when a lot of the tourists come because of the children.
Sure. The reverse of that, anything that the tourists just all miss. One of the best things about Philadelphia, and you can go there and you'll never see a tourist there because they don't know about it.
Well, unfortunately, like any big city, there's a lot of bad areas. There's still a lot of ghettos. I wouldn't know when you were ghettos, but just crime-ridden drug areas, like any big city. You don't need to go to those areas. And there's pretty much a good demarcation line. You know, Center City's pretty safe, and North Philadelphia's pretty bad. But Temple University's making some inroads to rebuilding that area.
Any place you don't see the tourists, but they're missing out?
I think they should try Manayunk. Manayunk is like a city like San Francisco. Geographically, it has incredible hills that are very steep. It's an old middle class type area where a lot of the yuppies have moved in, so there's a lot of good restaurants. There's scenes of it from the movie Unbreakable, the M. Night Shyamalan film.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie Fallen was also filmed in Manayunk that had Denzel Washington in it. I think Manayunk, and if you're a really good runner or a biker, you can go from the art museum to Manayunk. It's only about maybe 6 miles, and pretty much the whole way is along this beautiful river trail to get there.
Hmm.
But it's just a really great area that's worth a day trip. And you can take the train there also, out of Philadelphia, out of Center City.
Well, and Unbreakable happens to be my son's favorite movie. So any other great movies, as long as we're on that shot in Philadelphia, besides Rocky and Unbreakable?
Oh, boy, I have a great list of movies. If you're really a movie buff, one of my favorites is The Show Off. It's a black and white film that was actually filmed on location, so you can actually see City Hall and some of the areas back in the 1920s.
Hmm.
Of course, Rocky. A sports show recently decided, and I kind of agreed, that Trading Places with Eddie Murphy showed off the city. It showed off all areas of the city that you can kind of get a real good grasp of the scenery of Philadelphia by looking at Trading Places.
Hmm.
Also, if you're in Center City, I would check out the Lord & Taylor building. I think it was originally for years called the Wanamaker building, which is a department store. And it's just an incredible, incredible interior that was filmed for the movie A Mannequin with Kim Cattrall, who was City. The movie Philadelphia with Tom Hanks is a great place to great way to see the city and also the suburbs. If you're really into dark kind of science fiction, I would definitely check out 12 Monkeys, which...
Sure.
Took the city and put it in the real futuristic terms. And Witness is a good movie if you want to catch a little taste of the Lancaster people, the Mennonites or the Amish that I had mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Now,
also
Lancaster is a county. How close is that to Philadelphia then?
Lancaster is definitely a day trip. It's worth it just to see the Amish people and their culture. A lot of them still don't use electricity. They still ride around in horse and buggies. And it's just it's amazing that only 60 miles away from Philadelphia, this whole culture exists.
We also found we had friends who lived in Pennsylvania who lived near an Amish bakery. And the baked goods were both wonderful, and they couldn't justify charging the kind of prices that you'd have to pay in the city. They just didn't think that was right. So it was also very affordable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're good people.
All right, any closing things that we should know about Philadelphia?
Can I dispel a few rumors?
Sure, yes. Let's certainly dispel rumors.
Are you familiar with the snowballs at Santa Claus incident? Is that a rumor that you might have heard, that we threw snowballs at a Santa Claus?
No, I didn't heard that one.
Oh, that still goes around the sports shows, but that happened in 1968 at Franklin Field, the University of Penn football field. And it was basically four guys that threw snowballs at a very drunk Santa Claus, and it's gotten played out of proportion on sports channels that we booed Santa Claus. And Mia Jamal, he's guilty.
John, thanks so much for coming on the show and telling us a little bit about Philly.
It was a pleasure, Chris. I enjoyed it, and hopefully I didn't stutter too much. I think you have a lot of editing to do.
They'll never know.
Okay.
One more time, you want to give us the URL for your podcast? I don't think we did that at the beginning of the show.
Yes, it's Jimmy Crackhead TV, and the URL, whatever it is, jchtv.com, and it's a video cast about sailing, travel, and cocktails with Jimmy Crackhead and my various guests, and we get to go sailing down the Chesapeake Bay, and we travel around. And it kind of complements your show a little bit because we've been to Berlin, Heidelberg, I have a lot more trips lined up. You've been to a lot of the places I've been to. I might be going back to them. So it's a work in progress.
All right. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show, John.
Okay, thank you.
As is often the case, John hung up on the phone and thought of several more things he didn't say about Philadelphia. What I'm probably going to do in this case, John sent me an audio file with more information. I'm going to put that on the links at amateurtraveler.com on the show notes and let you just hear that if you're interested in hearing more information about Philadelphia. So check that out if you're planning a trip. I have two internet resources for you today. The first one is a small gallery of stunning in-flight photography taken by commercial pilots. So I thought you'd be interested in that. I'll put links to that in the show notes. It's at thrillingwonder.blogspot.com. And then I'll put a specific link to the one that caught my eye. The second resource I have for you was the subject of the latest episode of Notes from Spain. Many of you remember Ben Curtis from Notes from Spain, who's been on the Amateur Traveler twice. And he talked with a guest about More Than English, or Pueblo Inglés. And it is a place that you can go in Spain and spend a week with people helping them to learn English. You can speak nothing but English at the time, but in exchange for that, they will put you up in a 4-star resort for a week where you will be helping people learn English. You still have to pay your own airfare, but that is something that you might be interested in, and I'll put links to that in the show notes. The first reminder today is that we are having a contest by the end of February. So anybody who enters a review on iTunes and sends me an email will enter in to win an Amateur Traveler mug. Right now, one person's going to win it because although some people did enter in reviews, only one person has sent me an email to claim their review. So think about that. I got a message this week from Brendan from Australia, who wrote, "I'm fairly new to podcasts, about 3 months or so. I spotted yours and downloaded many of them. My current job gives me about 8 to 10 hours of listening time a day, so I've been having a wonderful time for the last few days. I particularly loved the cast on Yosemite. Man, I'd love to go there in winter. I visited the U.S. for 4.5 months in 2000 and touched 21 states. I think I cannot remember exactly. Have to check my Rand McNally's, but I never got to Yosemite. Maybe next time. Whenever that will be. Anyway, you're doing a great job, and I'm enjoying every minute of it, so keep up the good work." Brendan, I think you would find that if you had been to Yosemite, you would probably remember it. Stephen told me this message in my MySpace account, which is an amazing story. "Hi, thanks for approving my friend request. Here's how I heard about your show. Long story, but I'll make it short. 1 year ago, I was nearly killed in a major car crash. Broke 86 bones. Both arms, both legs, both knees, crushed pelvis, both ankles, sternum, lots of ribs, punctured lungs and liver, crushed both feet. When I woke up in the hospital, one of the first thoughts I had was, I almost didn't get to see the Great Pyramid of Khufu. I decided that if I survive, then I must go. I have recovered enough to do it now with a permanent limp, but I'm going. I searched the internet for travel sites, and I found Lonely Planet, who led me to Matt the World Traveler on MySpace, and from him to you. Whew. I tried to make it short. I got my passport last week, and I'm currently preparing to go on what I hope will be a permanent world trip. First stop, Egypt for several months. From there, I'm not sure. Anyways, it's nice to meet you, Stephen." Stephen, have a wonderful trip. I don't know what else to say. And lastly, some of you may have already noticed that I got a comment on the amateurtraveler.com site on the last post, and it said from a professor, and it said, "My global problems class used podcast 51, podcast 51 is about Tanzania, one of the first of two about Tanzania, to understand better the tensions between conservation, tourism, biodiversity, and the needs of rural African peoples. Well done, Chris." Thanks very much. I'm speechless. I'm glad that you were able to find a use for it. I would encourage you to send me your feedback also to host@amateurtraveler.com or post on the discussion boards or call the comment line or do any of the other things that are listed on the show at amateurtraveler.com for getting in touch with me. Even if you haven't had a near-death experience or are using the podcast to promote world peace, I'd still be glad to hear from you. Always looking for ideas for the show also. I would also encourage you to dig the podcast on dig.com, D-I-G-G.com, and also to join the mailing list if you're interested in making sure you know when the show is coming out and you haven't already subscribed to the show. If you have any questions about subscription, give me a ring, and thanks so much for listening.
I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more cafe. I know that I should be heading home, but maybe not today.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.